Tonight I want to preach a sermon titled, Sound the Trumpet. Sound the Trumpet. Did you ever think about the logistics problem that Moses had as he was leading the Israelites to the Promised Land? There's probably 2 to 3 million people, and he had to get them from Egypt over to the land of Canaan, which wasn't a very far journey, but because of their disobedience, it took them 40 years to make that journey. And, of course, he had to have something for them to eat every day. They had to have water to drink, and he had to keep them happy. There was only 4 in our family, and I can remember when the kids were still at home and we would go somewhere, it was hard to keep 4 people happy. I mean, I can remember when they were young and we go down to Mississippi to visit Debbie's mom and dad or her grandmother, and the simple decisions would get complicated. Where do you want to eat? Well, wherever you want to eat. No, where do you want to eat? And so, you'd ask each one of them, they say, well, wherever you want to eat, Dad, you pick the place. So Dad would pick a place, and then I'd have 3 people saying, well, why'd you pick this place? Some of you have been there. Just multiply that by 2 million, and you know what Moses felt like. But God had a plan. He had a plan for how he was going to lead the people. And you can go back, if you want, Numbers chapter 9, and you can read about it. He said, I'm going to give you a cloud by day and a fire by night. And when the cloud moves, I want you to move. And when the fire moves, I want you to move. When the cloud or the fire stays, I want you to stay. Doesn't matter how long I make that cloud to dwell in a certain place, I want you to stay that long. And if I want you to move, I'll move the cloud and I'll move the pillar of fire. And when they move, I want you to move. And that was the plan that God used for 40 years as he had Moses lead them through the wilderness. And sometimes when something works for 40 years, and by the way, that cloud and that pillar of fire reminded the people that God was there. It reminded them that he was going to take care of them. It reminded them that that he was there and that he did have a plan and he was going to provide for them and that they were going toward the place that God had promised. And so that cloud or that pillar of fire was a reminder, a constant reminder to the people about, like it said in that last verse that we read, I am the Lord your God. And I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to give you what you need. And you're headed towards a promise that I've made you that I'm going to keep. But you know what happens sometimes when you're around something for 40 years, you begin to take it for granted. And that's what the people of God did. I mean, some of the most wicked things they did under the cloud. For example, it was under the cloud that they built the golden calf and fell down and worshiped it. You remember Moses was up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments. He'd been up there for almost 40 days, and the people came to Aaron and said, hey, we need a God. We don't know what's happened to Moses. He's been gone a long time. We need a God. And the story that Aaron told Moses when he got back was, well, the people just gave me all their gold and I threw it into the fire and out popped this lamb. Now, that's not exactly what happened. I mean, that's like people just saying the earth sort of popped into existence. You just don't throw gold into fire and a lamb pops out. Aaron melted the gold, and the Bible says took an engraving tool and formed the lamb, the golden calf. And the people fell down and worshiped it. They sang and they danced and they worshiped it. And it was a terrible, terrible sin. I mean, it broke the first commandment. First couple of the commandments, have no other God before me. Don't worship any idols. And by the way, the cloud was still there. I mean, the cloud didn't disappear and the people have Aaron make this calf. No, the cloud was still there. The presence of God was still there. And yet they forgot God and turned from him. It was under the cloud, another example, that they murmured and complained. I mean, you go back and you read in the book of Exodus and you read in the book of Numbers. The people of Israel complained about everything. They complained about what they had to eat. They complained that there was no water. They complained that the way was hard. They complained. They said, hey, we had it a whole lot better back in Egypt. Back in Egypt, we had onions and leeks and garlic. What a diet. Yuck. Onions and leeks and garlic. And all we have here is this manna. This bread from heaven. Back then we had flesh that we could eat, and we don't have any meat here until God gave them the quail. And they did all that complaining underneath the cloud, underneath the pillar of fire. And when they got ready to go into the promised land, when they got over there the first time, and Moses sent the 12 spies in, and they went and searched the land for 40 days, and they came back and gave the report and said, hey, it's a wonderful land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. Here's some of the fruit that grows in this land, but we can't take it. The cities are walled and the people are tall. They're giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They did all of that underneath the cloud. I mean, the cloud was still there. The cloud didn't go away. The pillar of fire didn't go away. They refused to go in and claim what God had given them underneath the pillar of fire, underneath the cloud. Now, it's not the main point of my message tonight, but I'll just remind you that people of God, if we're not careful, we do the same thing today. Hey, listen, we have the presence of God in our life. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved into every single one of us and took up residence. And tonight, if you're saved, if you're on your way to heaven because you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you have the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, living in you. Every single one of us have that Holy Spirit living in us. And yet, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we put other things in our life first before God. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, we whine and complain. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, we refuse to believe the promises that God has given us, and we don't claim them. So don't look back at the Israelites and say, boy, what a hard-headed, ignorant group of people. If we're not careful, we will take the presence of God that lives in our lives for granted, and we'll do the same thing that they did. And so Moses, or God, said, Moses, the cloud and the pillar of fire, it's going to stay with you, but I need to do something else. We need to do something else. I need a way to remind my people of my presence. I need a way to remind my people of my plan. I need a way to remind my people of my provision. I need a way to remind my people of my promise. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a batch of silver. No alloys. No impurities. A pure batch of silver. And I want you to make some trumpets. I want you to make some trumpets. And I want you to give them to the priest. I want the priest to blow them on different occasions. And tonight I'm going to mention some of those occasions in just a minute. But I will, and here's the premise of my message tonight. I submit to you that the trumpets that Moses made in Numbers chapter 10 at the instruction of God represents the Bible. Represents the Word of God. You say, preacher, how do you come to that conclusion? Well, let me just share some verses with you. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And John said, I turned and I saw seven golden candlesticks, which represent the seven churches, and one that stood in the midst, like unto the Son of God. And when John turned around, what he saw, what he heard, was the Word of God. Jesus, the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Again, the Word of God, Jesus speaking like a trumpet. In Exodus chapter 19, when God was about to speak from Mount Sinai and speak the Ten Commandments, it says in verse 19, "And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." And again, my premise tonight is the trumpets in chapter 10 represent the Word of God, represent the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, the Bible says, "Cry aloud, speak not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Dick was talking about it in choir practice tonight. There's a certain part of a song, he says, you need to sound like a trumpet. Don't sound like a violin. A trumpet doesn't sound like a violin. A trumpet doesn't sound like a flute. Trumpet doesn't sound like a cornet or any of those other instruments. There's something unique about a trumpet. A trumpet is usually loud. A trumpet is urgent. A trumpet is bold in its sound. And I think what God is, as He told the Israelites, is telling us the same thing today. Look, yes, the Holy Spirit lives in every person, but if we're not careful, we take the Holy Spirit for granted, and we forget the presence of God, and we forget His provision, and we forget His plan, and we forget His promises. So I want you to take the trumpet, I want you to take the Word of God, and I want you to sound it out on different occasions to remind my people that I am God. Notice when God told Moses to sound the trumpet. He said, number one, I want you to sound it out when they assemble. When you're going to have a meeting, either of all the people or the princes, I want you to take the trumpet and I want you to sound out the trumpet. And here's my point. When we get together as God's people, when we meet in Sunday school and in church on Sunday morning and in church on Sunday night and on church on Wednesday night, when we have special meetings, the Word of God needs to be sounded out. You don't need to come to this place and hear a book report. You don't need to come to this place and get a lesson in current events. You don't need to come to this place and hear your preacher's opinion, although his opinions are pretty valuable. You don't need to come to this place and hear your preacher's opinion. You need to come to this place and hear the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that reminds us that God is ever present with us. It's the Word of God that reminds us He's going to take care of us. It's the Word of God that reminds us He has a plan for our life. It's the Word of God that reminds us that we have a promise, a blessed promise, to one day, as Laura was talking about, to go with Him and to live forever and ever and ever and ever. I feel sorry for people that go to churches that never hear the Bible. I feel sorry for people that go to churches where this book is not opened in every service. I think there are preachers going to stand before God and give an account for wasting the time when they had an opportunity to open this book and talk about Jesus and to talk about the promise that we have in Him, that if we come and ask Him, He'll save us and take us to heaven. And so when we come together, we need to sound out the trumpet. We need to open the Word of God and let it do its work in our life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It is this book that reminds us that God is with us. It is this book that reminds us that God has a plan for our life. It is this book that reminds us that God's going to take care of us. It's this book that reminds us of the promises that he has for us. Number two, Moses. God told Moses, hey, when it's time to move, when it's time to move forward, I want you to sound out the trumpet. Same today. When it's time for us to move, when it's time for us to climb to that higher level, when it's time for us to gain those new heights every day, this book needs to be sounded out. I want us to achieve some new heights this year. I want us to go places we haven't been before. I want us to see more people saved, more people baptized. The only way we're going to do that is stay in this book. We're not going to change the plan. Church is almost 21 years old, and from the first, it's been built on this book. We're not going to substitute something else and come up with a new plan. We got the plan. It's God's plan. We're going to continue to be faithful to the plan. Moses, God told Moses, when it's time to move forward, sound the trumpet. Number three, he said, when it's time to fight, when you're going to go into battle, get the trumpet, sound the trumpet. God uses his word the same way today. Bible tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, I want you to realize, we're not fighting man, we're fighting the devil. Satan wants everybody to go to hell. God wants everybody to go to heaven. We have to decide which side we're going to be on. Say, I'm a Christian, I'm on God's side. Then, as Jeannie was testifying a moment ago, do people know that we're God's friend? He's our friend. I was thinking as she was speaking that song, what a friend we have in Jesus, he's our friend. Question are we his friend? Are we telling people about Jesus? We're in a battle. The souls of men and women and boys and girls are at stake. Satan would like to get every one of us. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us we need the whole armor of God, including the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness those 40 days, and Satan came to him and gave him three temptations, what did he use to defeat him? He used the Word of God. Go back and read in Revelation as the armies come together on that final battle. What wins the battle? The Word of God. We need to sound out this trumpet. We need to sound out this book. And number four, it says, sound it out in the days of gladness and your solemn days and the beginning of months over offering and sacrifices. You know, when we get together for a happy occasion, like a baby dedication, we don't dedicate babies, we dedicate parents. But when we dedicate parents to raise their child for God, when we get together for weddings, we ought to sound out the Word of God. When we get together for solemn occasions, like funerals, we ought to sound out the Word of God. You see, it is this book that reminds us that God never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always there. You say, well, I have the Holy Spirit to remind me of that. Yeah, the people had the cloud. All they had to do was look up. All they had to do was go out at night and look up and see the pillar of fire. They could be reminded that God was with them. But they took it for granted. God said, I want you to get a trumpet. And when you blow the trumpet, I want people to remember that I'm never going to leave them or forsake them. That's what this book does for us today. When the people got worried about what they were going to eat, what they were going to drink, God said, hey, I'm God. I'll take care of you. I'll give you something to eat. I'll give you something to drink. You don't have to worry about that. I'm glad we got a God that supplies every one of our needs in Jesus Christ. I got a plan for you. I got some promises for you. And we need to stay in this book and be reminded that He is the Lord our God. Now listen, if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to do it. I had somebody, two people, tell me today after church. I said, "Preacher, I don't know how people without God make it in this world." I said, "I don't know either. I don't know how they make it. I don't know how they get through tough times without God." Tracy testified a moment ago. I don't know how you do something like that without God, without knowing that He was watching over you. Don't know. You're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Come on, let me introduce you to my friend. Not a better friend. One that will never disappoint you. One that will keep every promise. One that will do exactly what He said. The Bible tells us we're sinners. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. Would you come? Would you come? Hey, if you're a Christian here tonight, I mean, I've just been blowing the trumpet a little bit tonight. I just want to remind you, God will never leave you, forsake you. He'll take care of you. He's got a plan. And He's got a ton of promises in this book that we need to claim. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this book.